Okay. So we're on the subject of motivation. What should be your motivation or your intention before you start a meditation session? And then he's talking about the idea of motivation in everything you do, every good thing you do, even good deeds you do. If you do them with a lesser motivation, it poisons them, okay? So he's going to describe some options for motivation. He's going to describe four options. I'm telling you because you have it on your homework, okay? All right, here we go. Dena kunlongi kyeba ki gende topsu topche chungi kyeba shindu chete. So depending on the details of your motivation, a good deed that you do can have vastly different results, okay? Perna means, for example, mi shi means four different guys, four different people. Droma tsarchik, one round of droma, meaning what? The 21 verses, okay? There's 21 verses of praise of Tara, okay? We did it once here in, we did it in Tucson in 1999, or I taught it in Tucson or some 1999, I think. We can do it someday in our spare time. But there are 20, there's a very famous song to Tara named the 21 verses. So he's describing a case in which four different people sing this song together in praise of Tara. Okay? Dumatsar Chik, Nyam Dutena, Chiki Kunlong Chanjugisem. One of them has a very high motivation. Okay? They are thinking, if I succeed at this practice, if I become a good meditator, if I can meet Tara directly, if I can learn from Tara directly, then I can be the beginning of something big. They have this big vision, okay? If I can learn Tara prayer, if I can sing it nicely, if Tara appears to me, then I can show other people how to do it. And slowly, everyone in the world will be able to meet Tara. I will be ground zero of a movement of people meeting angels directly. So they're going into that, they're starting to sing the song to Tara with that kind of motivation. Okay, I will succeed at this practice, and then other people will be attracted to it, and slowly the whole world will get enlightened. Okay? Like that. We said the same thing about yoga, right? It's okay to do yoga, to look good, to feel good, to have more energy. If you have in the back of your mind, I will be more attractive to others, I will have more energy to serve others, I will be an example for others, and then slowly the whole world will become happier because of me doing yoga today. Okay? Having an immediate motivation doesn't cancel a long-term motivation. You don't have to think, I shouldn't look strong and good-looking. It's wrong. I should only want to save all beings, you know. You should rather go from one to the other. I should look good. I should get strong. I should have energy. I should have devotion. And then I'll be able to help others. You see what I mean? Don't think you have to look bad or something, okay? That's dumb. But many people have that idea, you know. Oh, Geshe Michael's teaching how to get money. Yes, I am. You know, the saving Tibetan literature costs several million dollars so far. If we hadn't had the money, that literature would be gone from the world now. It's not wrong if you use it for the right thing, you see, okay? All right, kune langchi. Chiki nyanjung dang, say nyanjung. Nyanjung means you just broke up with your boyfriend. It looks like nothing can go right in life. And then you say, I'm going to recite Tara song because I'm fed up with life. Life, nothing works, okay? It's never going to work. Nothing works, you know? Boyfriends are terrible. It's not possible to have a good boyfriend, you know? Like that. That's Nyanjung. Then I'm going to sing this song in honor of it's impossible to have a good boyfriend. Okay. All right. No, that's the motivation. Number two, right? The second motivation. Chiki, jikden chima dunyer tsamdan. Then one person is, this happens especially with people who get older, when they get over like 60 or 70, they start thinking about death. People younger than that don't think about it much unless they get cancer or something like that. So let's assume person number three is old, or they have cancer. And they're thinking, and the doctor told them there's no hope. You have 6 months, that's it, okay? Then they start thinking, I'll restart Tara in the hopes that after I die, I will meet Tara, or something like that. They're planning for after their death, okay? What will happen afterwards, okay? I will go to another world, you know? I will pass through the portal of death to another world. I'm reciting this Tara prayer so that things go well when I make the passage and I go to a good place, okay? Sam means only that and no more. Why did he say Sam? Because like the yoga example, it's possible to build on that motivation. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to say, I hope after I die, something good happens to me. That's not wrong. You should do your prayers for that. But then build on it. Okay? Build on top of it. I should look good. I should not be overweight. I should have lots of energy. And when I die, I should go to a good place. Just build. You're just building, okay, on things. That's okay. Chiki, now which number? Four. Person number four. Chiki saying, dear say ringwa dan neme pasoki dundu mun chik dunna. Then the fourth person, they're getting older. They are praying to Tara, may my wrinkles disappear, you know, may my complexion come back to younger, you know. They want to be younger. Okay? And ne mepa, they're older, they're losing energy, maybe they have some sickness, maybe they have asthma or they have joint problems or something like that. Then they're thinking, I'll do this prayer to Tara, and maybe things will get better, you know? My mud packs will work better, and I'm not kidding. Or my joints problem will clear up, or my bad back will clear up. Is that a bad motivation? It's nothing's bad, okay? It's all sweet. Anton said today, nothing's good, nothing's bad. I like it. He said something, it was nice. The pose is not good, the pose is not bad. Build on the pose. You know, it's a nice motivation. It's okay to not want wrinkles. It's not a problem. It's not like evil or wrong or, what do you call it? Vain. That's okay. And then build on it. I want to look attractive. I want to look young. I want to have energy. I don't like to have a bad back. And then I can teach more people. And they will listen to me, you know, like that. So that's okay. That's all right. But build on it. So we have four different motivations, okay? Let's see what are the karmic results of the four motivations, okay? Because he promised us it would be different, big difference, okay? The number of syllables they sing are the same. Whatever syllables it is, it's like 389 syllables or something. They all sing 389 syllables. There's no difference, okay? They all sing 21 verses, okay? Debu Topsu Shindumindate. The number's the same. The karmic result is incredibly different, okay? How many verses they sing is the same. What happens to them by singing the same number of verses isn't the same at all, okay? Here we go. Dambu de semke ki simbe dzogchang gi gyudang. The first person said, by singing this, may I be healthy, may I be strong, may I be an example for others, and may I start a revolution of spirituality, like that. May I affect the whole world. That's a direct cause for someone to reach enlightenment, okay? Why? One of the main qualities of a Buddha is that they have hlundrup. Say hlundrup. Hlundrup. Without premeditation, just sitting in a chair, they are already appearing on a billion planets. Okay? They don't have to think about it. Okay? A Buddha sits in a chair, and suddenly a billion people on a billion buses, on a billion planets, are having a conversation with a lonely person. And they're all the Buddha. They're all the Buddha. Okay, got it? That's the quality of an enlightened being. How do you get those billion bodies? Avatars. How do you get them to appear? When you sing your Tara song, you think, I would like to start a movement. I would like to be ground zero of a whole different way of doing things. Okay, like that. That's enough. That's bodhicitta. Okay? And then the end result of that, what happens from that seed is that you can appear on a billion planets while you're sitting here. Cool? That's a nice motivation. Okay? It comes from wanting to affect large numbers of people. Okay? Gyalseki, you know, we make publicity for events. We make posters. We put up stuff in coffee shops. We put stuff on Facebook, you know. As you're doing it, think, I would like to bring happiness to the people of Phoenix. I would like to spread happiness in Phoenix. The karmic result of that is you can appear on a billion planets at once. Okay? It's nice. It's cool. You should make posters. And you should think like that. Okay? Gyalseki Chepa Gyershing. That becomes the activity of a bodhisattva. Okay? Tepa Chembe Chusu Song. And it becomes Mahayana. It becomes higher capacity. Okay? Shen Sum Detar Mengyur. But the other three motivations don't have the same result. They don't have that kind of result. Why? Unkyang Nipa Deng Enjuk Isimbe Tarpe Gyu Dang Korwe Nyambo Kyebu Dingi Chusu Song. To be fed up with, what was it? Boyfriends. Okay, to say, look, this is just not going to work. This kind of life, where I meet a guy and then we all fall in love and then we go out on our first date and then we have our first relationship and then we have our first fight and then we start arguing regularly and then we hate each other more than anybody else in the world and then it happens over and over again. I'm tired of it, you know? And so I'm going to recite Tara prayers to get out of this kind of a cycle. Okay, of ups and downs. Okay, that motivation to want to get out of cycles is a good motivation. And in the long run, it gets you out of the big cycle of suffering. Okay, what they call samsara. Okay. Then in the Lam Rim context, that's called a practice for people of medium capacity. Okay? Medium capacity people are tired of life. Okay? A lot of people in this room have come here and have stayed here not because I'm such a skilled teacher, but because they had a disaster in their life. Okay? And I did too when I grew up, right? So that's called Nenju. Something goes wrong in your life and you wake up and you say, life is sad and I want to change it. Okay? Like that. Susan. Shen Nipa De Tarpe Gyutsam Du Yang Ma Song. But the other two motivations, what were they? What was number three? I hope I go to a better place afterwards. What was number four? I want to look young. And what's the other part? I don't want to have back pains. Okay, he says those other two motivations are not directly causes of nirvana. Okay, and kunjung rang gawar song. Okay, I think the gawar is misspelled for those who care. It probably should be au ga. Kunjung, what's kunjung demba? Nimbo, Phil. What's Dungyao Demba, Kunjung Demba? the truth of the source. Okay, kun means all, jung means happened. Kun jung means the source from which everything is happening. It's called kun jung. Okay, kun jung means things you do, which will result in more ups and downs. Okay, kun jung means things you do, which will result in more ups and downs. If your only motivation is that I shouldn't have wrinkles, or that I should have my back should stop hurting, or I hope if I die I go to a better place, those three thoughts are kunjung. They're just going to cause more ups and downs. They are the source of suffering. Okay? Are they wrong? No. Are they bad? No. Build on them. You know, don't reject them. Okay? Kebo chungu dang, what is it? Tumowe lam. Each of the levels of the lam rim is considered a stepping stone for the next one and not to be rejected. By itself, it may not be enough, but it's a stepping stone to something higher. Okay? So we don't reject the lower steps, we just walk them and we pass them. Okay? Sumba de tarpa dan tamje can be gir ma song yang ngendro le dope tap dan kebo chungo chusu song. The third motivation, where the person is fed up with boyfriend cycles or girlfriend cycles, okay, ups and downs. Tarpa dan tamje can be gir ma song. It is not a direct cause for nirvana or enlightenment. Okay. Just to be fed up with boyfriends, okay? But yang ngendole dope tap, it can help you avoid lower realms in the future, okay? After you die, okay? Dope tap tang kibu chungu chusu song, and it does represent the lowest of the three levels of lam rim practice, which is called the teachings for people of lower capacity. Lower meaning much higher than any of us. Okay, if you can reach lower capacity, you're doing damn good. Okay, all right. So, shipa deni se dipa tsam du songwe chusu yang ma song. Here's a very controversial point, which we could debate if we were debating the lam rim together. Motivation number four. What was motivation number four? No wrinkles and no bad back. Okay, tsin dipa. You should learn that, those of you who want to learn Tibetan. Tsendipa means it's just something that relates to this current life. Samdusong, and nothing more. And therefore, chu mayim. It's not dharma. It's not spiritual practice. Okay? If you stop at looking young and not having a bad back, it's not a spiritual practice. That you could debate, I think. Okay, is it evil? No. Is it wrong? No. Is it a foundation that you could build on? Yes. Okay, I don't want to look old, and I don't want to have a bad back, so I can serve others better, and so people will come to my teachings, and like that. Okay, if that's your motivation, then it's a high motivation. It's good. If it's just I don't want wrinkles, then it's kind of hopeless, right? It's not going to stop wrinkles. Okay, all right. So, there's a joke in the monastery. You come out of a yoga session, 2-hour yoga session with some lama, right? And Serda is a funny place. It's like a small village, right? When I was there, it was about 1,000 people. So it's like a small town. Everybody knows everybody's gossip. And people do gossip. It's a favorite thing of monks because we don't have much else to do. And the streets were all dirt at that time, and in the monsoon, they're half a foot of mud. You take off your sandals and you carry them, because you would lose them under the mud. You would never find them. They would get sucked off. Lots of sandals showed up in the spring. So you stop in the middle of the mud, and you gossip with it. You know, you talk to each other, like, "What's up, man? You know, and what's going on? Why did I bring that up? I forgot. Yoga. So your teacher, you'll meet one of your teachers on the street and they'll say, where you been? And you say, I was in yoga class. And they'll say, how long? They'll say, why did you go? And you say, I want to look younger. I want to be stronger. And they'll say, how long was the class? And you say, 2 hours. And then they go, ha, ha, ha. You're 2 hours closer to your death. You got older during the class. During the 2 hour yoga class to be younger, you got 2 hours older. Okay. It's true, right? If the motivation stops at looking younger, it's hopeless. Because the time you spend in the yoga class is also killing you. Okay. Which doesn't mean it's wrong to do yoga. Do yoga, but do it. But think, I want to be healthy so I can help more people. Like that. Then it becomes a high spiritual practice. Okay. And it's not like you don't have to feel guilty anymore that you didn't say the right prayers before your yoga class, or you didn't dedicate it to your mother-in-law or something like that. You can stop worrying about that kind of thing. It's good to be selfish if there's a higher thing involved. I want to look young, I want to be strong, so I can do more for other people. Then it's a win-win. Everybody wins. You look better, people get helped. And that's the idea. That's spirituality. That's real spirituality. It's not that you have to deny yourself. You can't be good unless you get nailed up on a cross. It's not that, okay? It's not like that. Okay, you should be happy and successful and cheerful, and you should have a good relationship and a nice family, and you should help others. And then everything is there. Okay, all right. Masong, Debo Yang Sen Dir Rewat Sam Ne Junkate. The result of just wanting not to get older and to not have a bad back, he says, Sen Dir Rewat De Sam Ne Junkate. It would be hard to say if anything better could come of it than some little stuff in this life. Okay? What? Deyang Joola Sendi Deki Dang Nyekor Dune Le Chepa Namla Debo Chishi. Here's another Lamrim story. I think it's one of the most beautiful. Okay? It's no more than a single comment by Lord Atisha. Okay, you ready? I like this. This is powerful. Okay, you ready? Somebody came up to Lord Atisha. Lord Atisha lived 1,000 years ago. He helped bring Buddhism to Tibet from India. So they said, somebody asked Atisha, Lord Atisha, a question. If somebody does a good deed because they're just trying to be a little happier in this life, or they're hoping for some money or maybe some offerings from a sponsor like that, and then they do some good deed, what is the karmic result? Okay? They're hoping for money, and they're hoping for some kind of fame or attention, right? Which is the usual motivation for teaching. Okay? Then he says, he said, Debu de konai ni chi. They get what they ask for, and nothing more. Okay? All right? That's a powerful. They get what they wanted, and nothing more. Say Chimala Chi Chi Shupe. Then the student was a little persistent, and they said, but what will happen to them in their next life? Nyawa Chi, Yida Chi, Dundo Chi, maybe hell, maybe hungry ghost, maybe animal. Okay. Tetare. Dena Rangre Dasawa Tsu Kyang. Soktan chura dimbe tse kunong chanju ki sem ki sina komba kang dorwa sun che kyang sersam bum ki mi dowe gyalse ki chepadro. This is a very beautiful sentence. It's on your homework. Okay, here it comes. Dena rangre dasawa tsu. Those of us who are living in a monastery, okay, his audience was mainly monks. Okay, dawa tsu. Mostly monks have, I don't know, three main activities we do for 25 years of the Geshe course. You go to tsok, which is what? You go to assemblies in the main hall. You sit with 1,000 other monks and you sing the Tara song and other stuff. Okay. Secondly, you go to chura, debating. You go to to debate with the other monks. Maybe at least 2 or 3 hours a day, sometimes 5 hours a day. In the winter, debates all night. You go till dawn, okay? You lose your voice around 1. So everybody's croaking at each other. Or you go to classes, right? Or to meditate. So he says, while you are walking to the class, try to think, I'm gonna go to a class because I want the teacher to teach me meditation, then I will reach some kind of deep realizations, and then I can really help other people. Other people will come to me, I will show them how to see things which no one can see. I will teach them how to see things that no one can see. And then they will teach others, and then they will teach others, and they will teach others. And pretty soon everybody in the world will be happy. If you think those thoughts while you're walking in that door to this class, it becomes a bodhisattva deed that could not be purchased with $100 million. Of gold, he says gold. Okay, it's precious beyond money. There's no price. Right? What is that? This is the teaching that has no price, right? In the sadhana. There's no price for it. Okay? Bunkimi doi. Me and Rinpoche. Rinpoche used to sit around. He would complain to us. He'd say, look, all these big lamas have ads in Mandala magazine, and I forget what the other magazines are. And I don't have any ads. And they're all charging $493 for an initiation. And I've been teaching you for free for 30 years. And he would whine about it, you know. And then we'd say, okay, Lama, you know, shall we have a real event and charge people? And then he'd go like, what? And he'd say, you know, should we charge and do lots of ads and stuff? And he's like, what are you going to charge for something that's priceless? He would get really angry. He'd say, how can you put a price on what's the price? $1 zillion? $1.1 zillion? You know, like, what's it worth to save your life? How much does it cost? He got really angry at us. Then it would happen over and over. Okay. Chipadro, Gyaseki Chipadro. Gedan jatu soktang ne ne ngosung samna samne china gontu chowasumbatadudro. But if rather a monk leaves their monk's cell to walk to the assembly hall for the prayer, the morning prayer, right? At which you get your breakfast, by the way. If you don't go, you don't get breakfast. That's why there's good attendance at the... especially if it's a refugee camp. Okay? If you're just going to the assembly because you want some of... Ge means the money they pass out to the monks. If and when we do a ritual at Sera May for 1,500 monks to try to help Diamond Mountain from having obstacles, right? Then they will give each monk... $1 or something, like 30 rupees or something, okay? Each monk will get, that's called ge. Ge means every monk gets a little money. Okay? Then they can buy toothpaste and stuff that they can't get. Gyaseki Chipadro. Jatuk means, or maybe you're going for tea, or maybe you're going for tupa. What's tupa? Tibetan noodle soup, which is the staple for many of the monks. Okay? I was the cook at Rashi Gempaling for 8 years. I cooked all the food, I washed all the dishes for all the monks, because I was the youngest monk, because everybody else was over 70. And anyway, I didn't like it, so I made tupa every single night, okay, for 8 years. Then they fired me. Okay, jatu soktang. Or if you just want the debate master or some official of the monastery to be happy with you because you showed up. Okay? Kongdu Jo Sumbata Do. You will end up like Lord Atisha said. You'll get that, and that's all you'll get. You will get your 50 cents. You will get your cup of tea. And there will be no more karma than that. Okay. Gom kengi gom ne du drom in do yang dila rak le te. Now he's returning to meditators. He says, meditators, whether their meditation triggers deep spiritual realizations depends on the same thing, their motivation. Okay? Whether the meditation works on you, whether it makes something happen in your soul, it depends on your motivation. When you sit down to meditate, why are you meditating? Okay? Chenla, Shane, Joe Shane Kyang, Lord Atisha also said, Ko Gomba Rinchen Lama Gomke, Gom Sana Gomba Taryugtang, Chasik Sok, Mambo Yong Semna, Jitsam Gomba Dikpayan. I've seen this sentence mistranslated almost everywhere, okay? So somebody might want to work on that. Kowo means my. Kowo means my. Gomba Rinchen Lama is a personal name. It doesn't mean Lama. He had a student named Rinchen Lama, okay? People have translated it wrong. He had a famous student called Gomba Rinchen Lama. Gomke, my student, Gomba Rinchen Lama, says he's meditating. Ha ha. Okay? Gomsana, and when he meditates, in his meditation, all that appears is Taryug and Jasik. Taryug and Jasik. These are two gifts that a monk who looks like a meditator might get from a sponsor. These are two gifts that a good-looking monk, meditator, might get if people saw them. If Tibetan farmers came in the room and you were like this, then they might give you Taryug or Chasik. Taryug means a bolt of cloth, because that's one of the only things a monk is allowed to keep, because you can make your next set of robes. Okay, so Taryug or Chasik. Chasik means a block of tea. Every monk drinks 15 to 20 cups of tea, you know. I drank 25 cups of Tibetan tea every day for many years. Okay, then I got sent by my company to Bangkok, and I was dead flat out on the bed from intense migraines, and I didn't know what it was, and then I figured out I had to go find some tea, you know. So that's another thing a monk needs, is tea, it's a block of tea. Chasik, Sok Mambo Yong Semna, if my student were just thinking about pieces of cloth and blocks of tea, Jitsam Gonma, the more you meditate, the more bad karma you'll collect. The more minutes you put in, the more bad karma you will get. Okay? It's interesting. Got it? Normally it's better to meditate longer. But if the motivation is material, to get something out of people, then the more minutes you put in, the more bad karma you're collecting. Okay? Chomsa Dikpayin. Gom Sana Kewe Gyatso Tar Yung. Chanji Choki Saban Dab Semna Sembat Sam Shik Chepe Sunam Kyang Namkar Mishong. This is a continuation of that quotation. Kewe Gyatso Tar Yung. If it's your motivation to cross this kind of life, to cross the ocean of this kind of life. What do we mean when we say this kind of life? We mean samsara. What is a sign of samsara? A boyfriend that you meet and you're all excited at the beginning. The Tibetans call it epsat sapo. You know, you're all like, ha, gi, gi, gi. And then you finally get him out. And then you go through that whole cycle. It goes like a sine curve, right? It always goes like this, right? You know, you meet him, you talk to him, you get him interested, you get him to ask you out, you go out, you kiss, you have sex, you have your first fight, second fight, 100th fight, and then you hate each other. All things go that way because all things are created by karmic seeds which wear out. It's not your evil. And it's not he is evil, although he seems that way. It's that your karmic seeds have worn out. It always goes like that. It always goes like that. Unless you understand how to plant new seeds during the relationship, it must get old and die. Okay? It must go like that. Okay? How do you plant new seeds in a relationship? You and your partner must serve somebody else together. Okay? You have the karma to meet each other. You have the karma for your first kiss. You have your karma for, you know, first whatever. And then you must serve other people together as a unit. You and your partner have to go to a nursing home, adopt an older person, and make it a weekly thing. It's just part of your life. On Thursday nights, we go to Mrs. Hancock's for dinner. And we make her dinner. You know, that will plant new seeds, and there won't be this cycle. It'll be, okay, all the way up to heaven. All right? Paradise Cafe. Okay, the real one. Okay, that's a tayum. So if it's your motivation, he says, if you have this motivation to get across the ocean of pain, so ocean of pain isn't some, don't think rebirth. Oh, I want to escape the cycle of rebirth. No one cares about the cycle of rebirth. Nobody believes in the cycle of rebirth. Just believe you want to have a nice relationship with your boyfriend. That's okay. That's enough. I don't want it to go into a crash. I want it to go up and up and up. Okay? Saban chanchu choki saban dep samna. And if I succeed in having a relationship which continually grows better from year to year, my friends will ask me, what the hell do you do? You know, what are you guys doing that works so well? I saw an interview with Sting and his wife, Trudy Styler. Their relationship is very rare among rock stars and actors. It gets better every year, and it's just extraordinary. Okay, and it's because they do all this social work together. She's saving the Amazon rainforest. He makes money for her, and they act as a team. And they get better and better. Their life gets better and better. Anyway, Chanjum Choki Saban Dab Semna Sembat Samshik Chepe Sunam Kyang. If it's your motivation that the success of your relationship, because you are both helping other people, becomes an example for other people, then the good karma of that cannot fit in the universe. Okay? Endless space is not enough space to hold that good karma. And it's true. Okay? If you, together with your partner, serve other people, that, with the intention that you should be a good example and change the world, then that good karma, that good intention, the karma cannot fit in the space between here and Alpha Centauri. Okay? It won't fit there. It's bigger than that. Okay, it would overflow the edges of the universe. Okay, physically, it's true. It's for real. It's true. Okay, it's not an exaggeration. Okay. Can I something remember to me? Dena tusam gom drup nyankur chujin so gewa chechun kana yankuno machina di tamje meba chebayin. Therefore, if you undertake any spiritual practice, he gives examples. Going to class, sitting at Paradise Cafe and doing your homework, meditating about the class, doing tantric practices, honoring other spiritual practitioners, making offerings at a temple, giving help to the poor. So, whatever you do, whether it's good karma, whether it's a big good karma or a little good karma, if you don't check your motivation before and, what do you call it, shine it up a little bit. What do you call that? Spruce it up a bit. it'll be useless. None of those things will have any effect. Okay? Deyan tepa chenpa che yinpe gesem tsangki mi chopar gesem kepa chen chanchu semki sin gu. What does it mean to do a good deed with a high motivation? It's not enough to be in a good mood. Okay? I like taking care of the poor. Or I like feeding refugees. Okay? Like, I'm kind of happy about it. Being kind of happy is not enough. Okay? Being kind of happy about it is not enough. You have to go through that process. I will feed the poor. I will become an example for others. Slowly, everyone in the world will start to feed the poor. I will change my planet. I will change my globe. Okay? And you can, okay? You can. If you start thinking like that, then in 5 or 10 years, you're like in, I don't know, Cali, Colombia, where you've never been in your life. You know exactly one person in the country, and 1,000 people show up. You know, so if you keep having this motivation, you will become a global force. You can affect the globe. Okay, just start thinking like that. Okay? Have that in your mind. Make your movie to help the globe. You know, like that. Yes, I'm getting you. Chanjuki singgut. Chanjuki sem chumin rangshuki yuna ditar mi gukyang chuma sandep jagate. Masim chen tanjeki danish sanjekyang yingir mi tembe kare kare taki daja nemas. Tibisang yingo mo toba ja. Gesan kemi chen chung. Chanjuki sem chumin rangshuki yuna ditar mi gukyang. If you are a person who, when they start to meditate, is overwhelmed by thoughts of bodhicitta already, you know, you sit down to meditate and you already have this vision that you will change the whole globe, okay? Then you don't have to examine your motivation. So this step is optional for people who are already motivated highly, okay? Kyan. But chuma stand up jar good say. But if you're the kind of person who's say chuma, this is a good word, okay? Say chuma. I remember where I learned many of my words in Tibetan. I didn't have a dictionary, okay? I had my teacher. That's the old way, and that's the good way, and that's the only way. Okay, I didn't have a dictionary. I washed his dishes. And when I needed a word, I got to go into his room. You see what I mean? It was a, what do you call it? Blackmail. No, I just slaved. I was a slave. Total slave. For 25 years, okay? But when I wanted to know something, I just went up and asked, you know? Because I was there. And that's the way, that's the old way, okay? And I know that's not so popular in the New York Times or whatever, but that's the way it works, and that's the way it should be. So anyway, I would go, I remember chuma, I remember where I learned chuma. It was in the Howard Johnson's, just in front of the Delaware Bridge, because I used to drive him to Washington, way. I used to drive him to Washington. Where? I used to drive him to Washington D.C. once a month. Okay, then he loved Howard Johnson's. Don't ask me why. I think it was the ladies in the orange outfits. But we would sit there and he'd say, "Why can't they give me real cream for my tea? This is chuma, meaning what? Cream dream or whatever they call it, you know, fake cream, soybean oil." And he'd say, "This is chuma, you know, this is not the real thing. This is fake. This is artificial cream." ask them if they can, if they have any real cows back there, you know. And that's how I learned the word chimma. So there are two kinds of bodhicitta. One is called chimma. One kind of bodhicitta is called chimma. It means it's not coming up in your heart automatically that you would like to change the globe. Okay? Like you're so used to thinking small that you have to work on it. It means you have to work on it. Okay? You are going to meditate, or let's say you're going to help an elderly person because you want to make the karma to find a boyfriend. Okay? So when you before you help the old person, because you want to make the karma to find a boyfriend, you have to chumma. At least you should try to fake it. Okay? That's what it means. Okay, I'm going to go in and help this old lady. I hope I get a boyfriend. And then I hope all my friends find out what I did. And they also get boyfriends. And then I hope their friends get boyfriends. And then I hope everybody gets a boyfriend. Kind of. You know, and like your heart's not in it, but you at least try to fake it. Okay, that's called chumma. And it's fine, because that's how you start. Later it becomes natural. Okay? Instead of jagat, say, Ma sem chen tam che ki dundu she lam sen jir kyang ying yur mi tembe. So look, it's not going to happen that you say, I'm doing this for all living beings. And suddenly you feel like you're serving everybody in the world. It's not going to happen. It's going to be forced. It's going to be artificial. But still do it. Because it causes the real one later. Okay? It's like pretending you can do a handstand when you can't. Right? And Anton's sitting there holding my legs and I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. You know? And pretending causes you to be able to do it later. Okay? It's important to pretend, because then later you can do it. Okay. Something you didn't do. Zobe sangi gopan thopa cha. Dei chide chanchit langi rimbe chi gomba cha wo. Then think to yourself, before you meditate, say, today I am meditating on one of the steps of the Lamrim. Okay. I'm meditating. I learned the first 1% of the Lamrim from Geshe La in the last 2 years. Okay? And I'm going to meditate on it. But goddamn, it's so I can become Iron Man or Wonder Woman. Okay? Like, I'm going to become somebody who changes the world. And that's why I'm meditating. Okay? Like that. Just think it, even if it's fake. Okay? She Kasang Shubatar. By the way, I'll stop in like 5 minutes, okay? For a break. Those of you who care, the colloquial word in Tibetan for yesterday is kesang or kasang. Here's the correct spelling, okay? Karseng. Nobody ever spells it. And that's it. Karseng shubatar. Deonjo dunche nyeka semke ki parimshin sandap chena ying yur tumbadang. So when you learn enough of the Lam Rim to know some of the steps of the Lam Rim, which we haven't gotten to yet, okay. When you sit down for your meditation, you should say, I'm lucky to be alive. I'm lucky I met a good teacher. All the way up to, I want to save the world. Review them quickly in your mind. Okay. Then it will become natural. In time, it will become natural. It's what do you call that? They say that when young children learn a foreign language, it creates new synapse pathways through their brain cells. That's what you do when you fake it. When you fake universal compassion, it starts to open those brain cells and it creates a pattern in your mind. Someday the real thing will come. Okay? By the way, we have one more sentence and then we're at a good place to stop, to take a break.
Okay,
kala chipa mimbe ngakne jipa taki semdan depa yingye kongten che. Whoa. Okay. Nungi dapa namki kunlong chutso. In the past, holy lamas have taught us how to review our motivation. Gendi nazo sumba. They've given us many different methods for building a good motivation. Gashiki lola sunne. Yingyar chiang ma tumba. There are people who memorize these things, but they don't apply them to their own heart. You see? So in Tibet, in a Tibetan monastery, you have to memorize hundreds and thousands of pages of stuff. And then sometimes it becomes rote. It becomes, you're not even thinking about it. It's like, I did it on the bus for 15 years. Okay? I did my prayers on the way back from New York. And it was like that, yeah. They're required prayers, you know. So it's possible to say them for years and not think about them once. I can attest. Nothing will happen to your heart. It won't change your heart. Just memorizing it won't change your heart. So therefore you should try to look into your heart and do your meditation, your yoga, with some kind of higher intention. You should let the condition of your heart match the condition of your lips. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, we're at a good place to take a break. Was there something I have to announce? Any silent auction for this book? Our setup made big sale. We're at $30. Oh, winner announced last half of that. Okay. There's a very beautiful book that was created in Tucson by a very fine teacher named Darren Rhodes. I hope you can come and teach, some of it sometimes. But where's Milo? Milo, I think, helped design it and everything. And it's a very beautiful book about all the yoga poses that you'd ever want to do. Okay? So there's going to be a silent auction for this book. I don't know what a silent auction is exactly.
It's going up in $10 increments.
You have to explain more carefully.
Okay. So, I don't know. I've never really done a silent auction, but you write down your name and how much you want to, how much you're willing to spend on the book. And we're doing it in $10 increments, and you just put your name on the line with your number, and then you walk away, and it's all quiet. And then it's going to end the second half of our last class. Geshe Michael will announce the winner. So it's to raise funds for the... if you'd please announce the winner. it's to raise funds for the Sarah May Study Abroad program. There's four of us. Well, there's five of us going, and four of us are getting funded for the airfare and the lodging there, and we'll be studying Tibetan. And
okay, we'll start. These classes really are free, okay? And you don't have to offer anything, all right? In the monastery... the teachers don't get paid. They teach for free for 30 years. Each student, they do it for free. And I respect that custom. I think it should be that way, okay? So don't feel obligated, all right? If it's fun, that's okay, but it's not necessary, okay? All right, here we go. Deta kunlong gesem kepa chenki ngangne kendo semke chawate. We're on class number 4. I was going to try to finish 5 classes this week. So we'll be about 80% done or something. That'll be okay. We'll make it up in Prescott. So there are two steps to gathering your motivation before a meditation, okay? So far, we only said that you should look into your heart and check your motivation. And we gave four examples of possible motivation. And now we're going to have his presentation on what would be a good motivation, okay? And so there's an extensive training about a good motivation to have for meditating. And you can also use it for your yoga, or for coming to a class, or for serving people at the homeless shelter, okay? This is how, classically, you would raise a correct motivation before meditation. Now, this is a long presentation, okay? You ready? We won't do it all tonight. So first is, say, kyamdo.
Kyamdo.
It's the only case in the Tibetan language where the prenasal is a labial before a dental. So it should have been kyangro, kyando, you see? And it's kyamdo. Don't ask me why, okay? But you should know, because you should pronounce it correctly, because it's one of the most important words in Buddhism. Say kyamdo. Going for shelter, or taking refuge, okay? And we have to talk about it, right? There's a very, very, very powerful presentation about this in the textbooks of the greatest Tibetan monastery, which is Serame. There's a beautiful presentation. It's really, really powerful, and you should know it. So I'll go with his thing for a while, but I might go off on a long tangent, okay? Where was Pabongka Rinpoche from? Serame. Okay? Not only that, he's from Gerong College, which is our college, okay? That's the one that I was brought up in, okay? So this is probably the most famous book written in Tibet in the last 500 years or so. And it was written from our college. Okay. We have to talk about what does it mean to go for shelter or to take refuge, okay? Dalen Lamrim Sun Drapa Yimbe. So if you think about it, his presentation, there are eight important texts on Lamrim, the Idiot's Guide to Enlightenment, all the steps to enlightenment, A to Z, A to Z of enlightenment. There are eight famous presentations. There are maybe a couple of hundred other ones, okay? But there are eight of most famous. He chose to use three in his lectures. This is a record of lectures given in the 1920s in Tibet, right? And written down and edited by the teacher of the current Dalai Lama, okay? Who was my teacher's root lama, okay? So the three books, so Drakpa, those of you who are studying, can you see it up there, Ningbo? Lamrim Sun Drakpa? Drakpa means to combine three or four commentaries as you teach. So the Lama would set out like eight commentaries and follow the same topics through each of the Lamrims. There's a very, very famous commentary called Lamrim Shidak. If you really wanted to spend 20 years studying Lamrim, you should study that. It's four commentaries on the Lamrim Chemo of Jetsun Kapa that you can follow simultaneously. And they were printed interlinearly. They were carved interlinearly, you know, and it's awesome. It's an awesome text. I don't think anyone's ever taught that publicly. It would take about 30 years. But it would be cool. Anyway, we don't have time. I don't know. Yet. So anyway, he's using three of them. What are the three? Say Nyurlam, Jampel Shelung, Lojong Dunduma. Okay. Nyurlam means the quick path. Okay. Sorry. It's alarming by the second pension law, Lo San Yeshe, who lived 1663 to 1737. Okay. Jabdal Shelung is called the word of the gentle one, and that's the fifth Dalai Lama's great Lamrim. And then Lojong Dunduma is Geshe Chikawa, his famous seven-point Lojong. It's a Lojong practice. Kindness meditation, all right? He lived 1101, 1175. There's a debate about whether he wrote the Lojong Dunduma. He was the first one to write it down. It's believed to have originated with Lord Buddha, but it wasn't written down until 1100 in Tibet, okay? Anyway, the presentation you're getting for these 12 years that we'll be studying this text is based on those three lamrims, okay? Why did we bring that up? Jorche Layang, Kyabyul Sokshin, Sokmin Dawa Soso Yurpe, Matupa Chagur. Each of those three lamrims, which is the foundation of this lamrim, has their own way of visualizing the lamas when you get to taking refuge. Okay? And when you get to the other practices of this section. Okay? You're supposed to close your eyes at this point and visualize the lamas of the lineage. Okay? And there will be three different ways to do it because there are three different root texts. Okay? And each of them has a different one. That's all he's saying. Sokmin Drawar Soso Yope Matu Parchaga. Don't mix them up. Keep them separate. You can choose the one you like. In this case, in this training, which will take you another 10 years or 12 years, you choose one which calls to you and you use it. So you don't have to decide yet because you didn't hear what they are. Okay? But eventually we will decide. I personally use the most simple one. Okay? But I'm not telling you, you have to. Okay. Tata Tsoksu Chaklen Tar Sogyu Ki Jochu Jukpa Dechir Dumba Yinkyang Gyungi Shandun Nyurlam Ki Jochu Teng Ne Zegu. Tanda Tsoksu, in our current class, 1926 or 21, I don't remember. Okay, when he taught this the first time, when we, because it's easier, we've been reciting, they recited some texts before they had the class together in the temple. So we've been reciting what's called the Jorcha, which means the preliminary practices of the Hlogyo. Say Hlogyo. Hlogyo means southern lineage. This is a lineage that developed in South Tibet. Okay, Jukdev, it's easier. So we've been doing that. But Kyang, Gyungi Shandun, in general, I want you, my audience, to do it according to the system of quick path by the second Dalai Lama. Okay. Quick path is almost a commentary on Delam, which is what? The path to bliss, which is the lamrim that was taught by the first Panchen Lama. And in the tantric training at Diamond Mountain, you are required to have a foundation in lamrim before you start the advanced teachings. So we paused for a year there. And you went through the Delam. You got the whole Delam, right? And then we did six more years of training, intense training, 20,000 pages of training from the scriptures, and then people went into retreat. So they were trained for 7 years. But they started with Delam. They started with the foundation, okay? So, Hlogyo Ki Jorje Juk Dechir, Dumbi Yin Kyan Gyungi Shadin Yurlan Ki Jorje Teng De Zegur. Kyamdo Jawala Tomar Kyabyu Seldeb Gupe. When you take refuge going into a meditation session, as an introduction to a meditation session, it's traditional to visualize something, the refuge. Where are you going for refuge? So we taught in the prison. When was it? Sagandawa. 2 weeks ago? Last Monday? God. So they have many students in the prison in southern Arizona. And these are prisoners imported from other states, okay? There's like 5,000 from California, there's 5,000 from Hawaii, and there's, you know, out in the onion fields of southern Arizona, there are these huge facilities, right? So Nick and Jeff and Christine and Jigme, they're doing great work, and they are teaching in the prisons. So last time we went, they wanted to take a refuge ceremony, okay? It's traditional to stand up and explain it to them first, okay? And the vows, how many vows are there? 12 vows that they have to take, okay? So we started, we got up to explain the idea of protection inside a jail. This is important. You see, inside a prison, there have been more deaths in Arizona inside the prison from fights and heroin than from execution every year. I think it's 37 deaths last year in the prison, okay? So it's a violent place. It can be a violent place. And, you know, the idea of protection is very important to them. So we talked about the idea of protection. And there's a story about it. Lord Buddha, you know, he was supposedly a king. He was probably the headman of a small village or something. I don't know. But he's a Shakya Muni, right? He was the head of the Shakya clan. And there's a story that after he became the Buddha, he was sitting in his hut in the village, and the village was attacked by soldiers from another small village, probably. And people ran into his hut, and they hid under his robes. One person hid under his sen, right? His shawl. Buddha was wearing the shawl. The person ran in and clutched Lord Buddha's body and hid under his shawl. The soldiers came in and killed him, clutching Lord Buddha, okay? Holding on to Lord Buddha's body. They just stabbed him and killed him, you know? So then the question comes up in Buddhism, what can protect you? If Lord Buddha standing next to you can't protect you from your karma, who can, right? So it's very important. The idea of who can protect you in your life is important in Buddhism. So we don't believe that a picture or a statue can protect you, okay? We don't think you should think that if you ask this piece of metal to help you with your cancer problem, anything's going to happen. It's not going to happen, okay? You can pray to the piece of metal, or you can pray to the piece of paper on which someone's picture is printed, and it's not going to protect you, okay? If Lord Buddha standing next to you can't protect you, then obviously a photograph cannot, and a piece of metal cannot help you, okay? So what does protection mean? And the prisoners got it, you know? They're in a situation. If something happens, do they tell the guards or not? If they tell the guards, they might get killed anyway. If they don't tell the guards, they might get killed also, you know? And so their protection is important to them, the idea of protection. So who can protect you? Your knowledge, okay? Your understanding is the only thing that can protect you. Nothing else can protect you. In this system, in this tradition, nothing can protect you except your understanding, okay? How? We can give the classic example of the yelling boss, okay? The boss who yells at you. So you're at work. This happened to me, what? Every 15 minutes for 15 years. The boss calls you up on the phone and says, you know, can you get this order out? And you're like, but you gave me another order half an hour ago, and it's a three-hour order, and I can't do it. And they're like, he just say, God damn, make it work, and hang up the phone, you know? And then you have to figure out how to make it work, right? So your boss is yelling at you and criticizing you, right? Somebody is criticizing you. In the moment that they are criticizing you, in the week that someone's criticizing me, can I stop it? Do I have the power to stop it? No. We say no. Present moment criticism cannot be stopped. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how bad you want it to stop. It's not going to stop. Okay? That karma has already ripened. All right? And it's too late to change it. All right? So what are you supposed to do? It's human nature when your boss yells at you. What's human reaction? What's the normal reaction? You yell back. You want revenge. You are criticized and you want to criticize whoever criticized you. This is human nature. Everybody does that. Okay? So in this system, when the boss is yelling at you, what are you supposed to do? Should you yell? Or should you be quiet? Should you confront them with how stupid they are? Or should you just roll over and be quiet in the hopes that the criticism will stop? Which one? And you're supposed to say, neither. Those are two bad choices. Criticize back, or just be quiet and continue to be criticized. Both choices are bad because they don't work all the time. If an action doesn't give the desired result all the time, it doesn't work. Okay? It's like an airplane that doesn't always work. Would you get on an airplane if you knew it might stop working halfway to the other city? You'd be stupid. Okay? Would you buy a car if the salesman told you it only works 3 days a week? I don't know if it was cheap enough, maybe. So it's foolish to take actions which don't work all the time, because that means they don't work at all. We have to get used to that. To respond to criticism with criticism, or to respond to criticism with bitterness, quiet bitterness, right? They're both wrong because they don't work. You learned that. I grew up with four brothers. We were four. No girls, no father. We knew how to fight. And so then the question became, if your big brother hits you, for a while you hit back, but he's bigger, so it doesn't work very well. And then after a while you say, okay, I'll just let him hit me. And then he hits you more. You see what I mean? And it's the same internationally. Do you fight back when your country is threatened, or do you try to negotiate? You see what I mean? Both are wrong because they don't work. Okay? Fighting back doesn't work because sometimes you fight back and they crush you. Negotiating doesn't work because sometimes you negotiate and they crush you. That means negotiating doesn't work. And that means fighting back doesn't work. So what should you do? You should look for the seed in your mind from which this criticism is coming. Okay, the boss is telling you you're stupid. Who created that? You did. How? You said the same thing to somebody else last week or last month. It was smaller, but it was the same thing. You criticized somebody a week ago, and now people are criticizing you. Okay? If you don't like being criticized, what should you do? Stop criticizing people. Will it stop the current criticism? No. Okay? Can you stop the current criticism? It depends on the seeds, and you don't know what your seeds are. So don't worry about it. Don't go crazy. Don't get wow, you know? Okay, I'm being criticized. Do your best Do what you think is right. But in the end, it will only be what seeds you have in your own mind. What's the stupidest thing to do if you're criticized? It would be to criticize back, okay? Because then you would plant new seeds. And then next week you'd be criticized again, okay? The stupidest thing you can do is the natural reaction. We all, when we are criticized or hurt by somebody, we try to hurt them back, or we try to criticize back. In this system, that's the stupidest thing you can do. That knowledge is protection. That knowledge is refuge. Okay? Refuge is an important concept in Buddhism because according to Buddhism, that's what makes you a Buddhist. Okay? In Christianity, it's baptism. You know, I don't know what it is in Judaism, bar mitzvah and bas mitzvah, I don't know. That, like, you're really in the church then. You see what I mean? In Buddhism, it's refuge. It's going for taking shelter. Not in pictures and not in statues, okay? Taking refuge in an idea or a concept. If I respond to violence with violence, more violence will come. Okay? Got it? That knowledge is protection. So we finished this talk. I gave the same talk in the prison. And it was really, really beautiful because they understood it, you know. Should you go to a guard if someone threatens you? Hard to say. I mean, sometimes they'll find out and they'll kill you. And sometimes you go to the guard and it works. Therefore, going to a guard doesn't work. Okay? So if you're in a prison and you're being threatened by a gang, we teach in a prison where the inmates are mostly gang members who dropped out of gangs. And they have to be isolated in a separate facility because they will be killed by the gangs, you know? So one of our main classes is for gang members who quit the gang, right? They were very interested in this idea. They were like, wow, tell us more, you know? If someone threatens you in the prison, what should you do? Try to protect another inmate. Try to offer protection to another prisoner. See what I mean? That's refuge, and that's protection. Offer protection to another prisoner, and you will be protected. Okay? Got it? That's taking refuge. Right? You must take refuge before you meditate. That's part of your motivation. All right? The whole few days now, we've been talking about the physical posture for meditation, which has how many parts? I want to hear or. Seven or eight, okay. We did the physical posture. Then we did the seat. The seat should be higher in the back, lower in the, etc. Now we're doing the mental preparation for a meditation. And the first one is take refuge. Okay? Take refuge. In what? The idea of seeds in your mind. Take refuge in the idea of seeds in your mind. You want to have a good meditation? Then plant the right seeds. Okay? You want to have a good meditation? Then plant the right seeds. Okay? Whether there's traffic on the road tomorrow morning or not is coming from you. Okay? If you have facilitated other people getting places, there won't be traffic. If you've blocked people from getting things they want, there will be traffic. There'll probably be a car accident on the highway. Okay? The same is true of the thoughts that come in your mind and whether the meditation is successful or not, whether you can concentrate or not, or whether you fall asleep in the meditation, or whether you can't stop thinking about breakfast. Which are all three possibilities. That's coming from seeds in your mind. So at the beginning of the meditation, take refuge in the idea or the concept that your life is coming from seeds in your mind. And your mind is coming from seeds in your mind. Okay? Whether or not you have a successful meditation depends on how much peace you have brought to others in the past. Okay? If you have tried to bring peace to others, you will be able to meditate. And if you have not, you will hear a noise in your mind. Say, chacho. You got to smile with half your mouth. Okay, chacho. Like the Joker in Batman. Chacho. Chacho means blah, blah in Tibetan, okay? If you haven't been kind to others, then you will hear chacho in your mind when you're trying to meditate. Okay? That's all. Meditation is coming from your seats. Understand that, and you have taken refuge. And that makes you a Buddhist. We have this joke in DCI. 5,000 people came to the last DCI tour. 3 of the talks had more than 1,000 people. Guadalajara and Colombia, right? And we go to countries where it's illegal for me to wear my robes. We give DCI tours in places where it's illegal for me to wear my robes, okay? And it's illegal for me to talk about Buddhism. So we talk about business, or we talk about relationships, and that's fine. Because if I give a talk about getting a boyfriend, and if I suggest as a method what? Helping an elderly person who's lonely, right? And if that person follows my suggestion, they are taking refuge, and they are Buddhist. Okay? And it doesn't matter what picture they have in their wall. I don't care. It's totally irrelevant, you know? Put Mickey Mouse on the wall. I don't care. It doesn't matter, okay? You lead your life by kindness to others, and you're a Buddhist. And I don't even care if you are. It doesn't matter to me. Just be nice. Use seeds. Then you have taken refuge, okay? If you have a rosary on your wrist all day, and you have 24 photos of different kinds of 12-armed Buddhas in your house, and you can recite the whole Vajrayogini sadhana from memory. But if you don't understand refuge, you're not a Buddhist. There's a joke in Tibet that the abbot of Sera in Tibet got up on the throne, and one of the monks said to the other monk, he's not a Buddhist. Okay? He could read his mind. And he didn't understand what I just talked about. He yelled back at the boss. That means he doesn't have refuge. That means he's not a Buddhist. He's the abbot of Sera, 10,000 monks. And he's not a Buddhist. He's sitting up on the throne and he's not a Buddhist. Okay, it's a joke in Tibet. I guess it was true. I don't know. Okay, we have about 10 more minutes. George Tengne Zeko, Kyamdo Chawala Toma Kyabyu Sandab Gope Nyolam Luki Kyabyuni. Now he's going to explain a visualization which you can use when you take refuge. Okay? Is it refuge? No. It's just pictures. It's just pictures in your mind. Okay? It's not refuge. Okay? Refuge is not to yell back at the boss. Got it? Because you hate him. And you don't want to see him next week. Got it? It's intelligent, what they call it? Dalai Lama calls it intelligent self-interest. Okay? Enlightened self-interest. Okay, anyway. Dungi nagar hajang tona, gopatang hajang mana chingwake. So say Dungi nankar. Dungi Nankar. Many, many Buddhist visualizations begin with Dungi Nankar. Dungi Nankar means in midair, in front of me. So it's traditional to visualize things here. Like someone sitting here, right in front of this chakra. Okay? It's traditional to picture that. There are 3 kinds of meditation, right? Say Jogom, Chegom, Shargom. Jogom, Chegom, Shargom. There are 3 classical genres of meditation. First one, Jogom. Jogom means fix your mind on a picture of Lord Buddha, or fix your mind on your teacher. Okay? Single-pointedly, Jogom. Okay? Chegon means I have a problem. What? My bank account's rather low. Okay? Which is actually the case. Then I would like to fix that in a kind way, in a good way. Then how should I do that? Let me think of how I can help someone else to make some money. Let me think about who I might give a gift of money. Like that, okay? Chegon means problem-solving meditation. So the first kind of meditation is single-pointed. The second kind of meditation is when you're trying to solve a problem. Then Shargom. Shargom means... Geshe Michael taught us seven or eight components of a proper meditation posture. What were they? Kangba, Lakpa, Kepa, Sochu, Che. I forgot. Mik. What's before shoulders? Oh, Mik. Sorry. Yeah. What's before eyes? Oh, yeah. Head, eyes, shoulder, and breath. Eight. To go through that list is called Shargom. Shargom means you review a series of ideas or a certain logic or a list of meditation postures or something like that. Those are three kinds of meditation. Before you start any meditation, you have to do a jogam. About what? Visualize your teacher. Okay? Ask them for help. Okay? That's a tradition. Your own personal teacher, whoever it is. Okay? The idea that 100 people could have the same personal teacher is probably incorrect, right? We're all different. Everybody needs a different kind of teacher. You might need one who's more serious. You might need one who's more goofy. You might need one who's more scriptural. You might need one who's more experiential. You might need one who forces you to cook for 8 years before they teach you. You see what I mean? Like, everybody needs a different... They say in Tibet, every hand needs a different glove. Okay? So, but in this tradition, before you start a meditation, you should picture your own personal teacher. If you don't have one yet, make one up. They could look like some Jedi Knight or something. Okay? You decide what you like. Okay? Here we go. A few more minutes. So Dungi Namgar Hajan Tona, don't make them too high because you will get Gupa. And don't make them too low or you will get Chingwa. What's that mean? Gupa means? Gupa means, yeah, thinking about something else. Okay? Like breakfast. Okay? So if your head is cocked back too far when you meditate, or even if the visualization is set too high, you will get distracted. You will start thinking about something else. Okay? Physically, if your body is too like this, you will start to think about something else. Or even with your eyes closed, if the object of visualization is too high, it will tend to make you think of other things, and you'll get distracted. Okay, what's chingwa? That's dullness. Like, if you hold your head too low, like this, you will tend to fall asleep, or you will tend to get tired. Okay? If the visualization is too low, you will also get tired. Okay? So keep it at the right level. When you picture your lama classically, it should be at this level. How do we do it in the Golden Room meditation? They're just in front of you. Okay? They're just sitting in front of you. But eye to eye, you see? It's straight. They are looking at you with love, and you are looking at them with gratitude. And you're just looking eye to eye. Okay, so that's the same thing. It's not too high and not too low. If they're shorter than you, they should have a big cushion. If they're taller than you, you should have a big cushion. Okay? Got it? But they should be level. Okay? That's a tradition. Mana. Renme tsam, minsam ki tedu. This is called minsam, okay? This place in the body has a separate name in Tibetan. It's called minsam, okay? In Sanskrit, in the yoga tradition, it's called Bruvor Madhya. Say Bruvor Madhya. Bruva is the ancient word for your eyebrows. Bruvor is the dual case, which is only in Sanskrit. Separate spellings for everything that's two, which is a hassle. Bruvor is the genitive of the dual, between the two, in the middle of the two. Madhya means in the middle, right? So in Sanskrit it's called Bruvor Madhya, here. In Tibetan it's called Minsan. There's an important chakra here named Ajna. So when you visualize your lama, they should be on the level of the Ajna chakra. Okay, it's tradition. Or eye to eye, see what I mean? Their Bruvor Madhya should be the same level as your Bruvor Madhya. Minsan to Minsan. What do you call this in English? I don't know.
Third eye.
Third eye is pretty good. I hate the word, but it's descriptive. It means this place in your body. Okay, here. Okay? All right. So it's not really between your eyebrows. It's a little higher. Okay? And if you want to get technical, it's inside about half an inch. But we're not going to get technical. Sengi chenpo geki tepe rinpoche chi shintu chewashik sendap. So it has become a tradition to this thing I'm sitting on, this platform thing, it's not a chair exactly, right? And they call it a throne, but it's not a throne either. I mean, a throne should have arms and gold jewels, and this platform, teaching platform, in Tibet is called a ti. Say ti. So this kind of platform that a teacher sits on is called a ti. When you visualize your teacher in this tradition, the tea is a piece of wood like teak or mahogany or something, supported by eight lions. Okay, eight lions are holding it up. Okay, then there's all this big debate. I mean, I studied it one time. I spent quite a time studying it. They are supporting it on their back, and they are facing out. So there'd be one on each corner, and one in the. There'd be eight of them, and they are supporting the. There's a tradition that they are supporting the throne on the backs of the lions. Okay, you can see those lions in China a lot, in Hong Kong, Shanghai. There are always two snow lions in front of, what do you call it, Meng Hong? How do you say bank? Yinhang. In front of all the Yinhang, there's often two snow lions. And traditionally there were eight. And they're holding up the throne. Okay, I think it's kind of cool. All right. Living lions. Okay. Rinpoche ti shintu chewashi sandam. This throne in this visualization should be as big as this room. Okay? All right? That's tradition. So the Lama is sitting on that throne, that platform. We'll finish in a few minutes. We'll just do a little bit more. Dei tengdu udang chokshir chichunga yupe. In the middle and on the four directions, the four cardinal directions, there are five lesser platforms resting on this platform. Okay? So in the middle there's one, and then in the four directions there are four more. Okay. Yipi uma chungse towe kar ngo rangi ranga chut tumbe jenchen sawe lama yimbala namba tumba tupe wabo dun cha tar ke. On the platform in the middle is sitting a Buddha, classical Buddha. We call Kok classic Buddha. There's a word in Tibetan, I forget. Chokituku, like the classical, this is classical, the small Buddha image here is classical. By the way, it's illegal to point at an image. This is considered bad karma. You gotta go. Like that, okay? All right, so, Sawa Lamala, Namba Tumba Tupe Wambo Dunja Tarike. Outward appearance is the Buddha. Inward essence is your own heart teacher, okay? Even if it's like your aunt or your child, on the outside they should look like a Buddha when you do this visualization, okay? Like a classical Buddha. We're almost done, okay? Hang in there. There's a good place to stop, but we're not there yet. Deyang lambe ki topa tamje lama la tenne ke gupe lo lama chakra. Any spiritual progress you can make in this life is only due to your own personal teacher. Okay? All spiritual progress that you can make is due to your own spiritual teacher. Therefore, the most important thing you have to do, which will come later, is find them, create them. Okay? How do you create a teacher? What's the karmic seed for a teacher? Share what you know. Share what you've learned with others. Okay? Do your homeworks. Do your quizzes. Do your final exams. Learn the subject well. Then teach it to other people. That karma creates a teacher. You don't have to go to India. You bring them to you. It's cool. Okay? I want a personal teacher. Bring them to you. Okay? How? Share what you know. Teach ACI 5 in Guadalajara. Oh, you did that already. Okay, maybe that's why you're here. Okay, number two wang du chepa ni tembe dapo yinbe chuki kung tembe che du yin. So why picture them as the Buddha? Why go through that exercise? It's to remember where the tradition started in this planet. It started with this historical Buddha. It's to remember the historical Buddha, okay? We're almost done. I wanted to get to this particular part. What's the right hand of the little Buddha over here doing? Yeah, it's touching the ground. Can you see? Can everybody see it? You want to hold it up, Brooks? This is classical Buddha mudra, classical hand position. The right hand is touching the ground, and the left hand is in this position. Okay, this is the classical position of the Buddha's hands. He's going to explain why. Right now, he's going to explain why. You ready? Hang in there. Four more sentences. Okay, here we go. I know it's late. I know you had a long week. So did I. Chakya Sanungi Tlai Bui Du Chomba. There are four demons in the world, okay? The Christian tradition has one, I mean, mostly it's the devil, right? In the Buddhist tradition, there are four devils, okay? Big devils. There are four evil forces in the world, okay? Negative forces in the world. Here they are. The first one is called Tlai Bu. Say Tlai Bu. I grew up in a very Christian tradition, and I still love Christianity. I love it very much. And my church is nearby here, where I grew up. And I love to go there. So this freaked me out when I learned this one. The first demon in Tibet is called the Son of God. Okay? And don't get superstitious about it, and don't think it's bad luck. It has nothing to do with Christianity, okay? Like, but I was all freaked out when I first saw it. So don't think it means the son of a powerful, worldly being who's bad guy. Okay? That's all it means. It doesn't mean what it means in Christianity. So don't freak out on me, okay? Anyway. Taibu de Chomba. His hand touching the ground means he has defeated the first of the four devils, which is called the son of the, or the child of the powerful God, or something like that. So it's rare to find a good explanation of what this being is. Okay, what kind of demon is that? What do they do? Because he's not going to tell you here. So I went into the database, 25 years of typing there by hundreds of Tibetan refugees. I think it's the greatest income of Tibetan refugees is our project, which is where every penny of my money went to. Okay? Which is why I don't... Anyway. Which is why they're passing around a bag. Here's a description of what that devil does. There's two descriptions, okay? These are hard to find. They're not very common. Namyang Chai Pui Duki Mitun Bechong. One describes this demon as being the demon who distracts you from meditation. Okay? When you get distracted in a meditation, they're pulling you away. Okay? They're sidetracking you. Okay? The other function of this demon is to support jealousy, the emotion of envy, or the emotion of jealousy. Okay? So you can think of that, either one. Okay? So when you're going to picture your teacher, if you use this particular tradition, there's going to be three you can use. I like the last one, it's easier. But if you choose to do this one, your teacher is going to have their right hand on the ground. And that means they have overcome distraction and jealousy. Okay, like that. Tlungze nangi dutsi deyang nawa mepa mengi dutsi. And they are holding, traditionally in the left hand, the left hand is traditionally like this, okay? And traditionally there's a bowl in the left hand. And inside that bowl is amrta. Amrta. What's amrta? The nectar of deathlessness. A means not, like apathetic means not enthusiastic, right? Atheist means doesn't believe in Deus, the God. Amrta means cannot die. Mrta means mortuary, means death. Okay, so in his left hand, that there's a cupped hand because there will be a bowl filled with nectar, deathless nectar. Okay. I like the Greek word nectar. Nek means what? Necrophilia means what? To have an obsession with death, right? Tar means to cross over. It's the root of the word Tara. The goddess Tara, she brings you across the ocean of samsara. So nectar means to go beyond death. The word nectar means amrta. Okay? It's nice. Anyway, and with that nectar, he destroys the second devil of Buddhism. The second devil is your body. Because it's going to kill you. Okay? The second devil is your own body. Because it's going to kill you. Okay? In its current condition, it will kill you. Okay? With higher practices, you can change that. But right now, left by itself, this body will kill you. You can lock it. I always imagine there's a safe. Maybe you know that safe. It's on 5th Avenue and 43rd Street on the northwest corner. There's a huge window and some bank has their vault all lit up. Maybe it attracts more deposits, I don't know. It's this huge vault with a big round door and all these bolts coming out, you know. And you could easily fit an elephant in there. And you could put yourself in there and lock it. And you could pump pure oxygen into there. And you could only eat healthy food. What do you call it? Vegan food, right? And your body would still kill you. Okay? You see what I mean? Buddhism says you don't have to meet up with a car accident to die. Just stay alive long enough. And your body will kill you. Okay? So, the fact that Lord Buddha has his hand like this, this means I'm committed to the spiritual path, I'm not distracted. This one means I'm not going to die. Okay? I'm going to defeat the devil of death. Okay? How you do that, we can talk about it. Okay? We can talk more about that. Okay? Number three, Chidaki. I'm sorry, scratch that. I made a boo-boo, okay? It's like in the newspaper they say we made a boo-boo yesterday. So I made a boo-boo, sorry. Uh, The second devil is your body, but it means a body which can get sick, not die. Okay, that comes later. The second devil is your body, but it means the fact that your body can get sick. Okay? And in that case, the liquid in his bowl, in his hand, represents freedom from illness. Okay? Okay? So number two is just getting sick. Number three is death. All right? The third demon is death. The third devil is death. And in that case, you can think that the same bowl has another liquid in it called amrita. Okay? So the third devil is death, and there's amrita in the bowl. We're almost done. One more sentence. Then he also has a sakpa mepe yeshiki duti. He also has infinitely pure nectar of wisdom, with which he will defeat devil number four, which is your own negative thoughts. Okay? Your own negative thoughts. So if you're in the debate ground and somebody says, who are the four demons? Who are the four devils? You're going to say distraction from the path. You're going to say illness. You're going to say death and negative emotions, which is what creates the first three. Got it? Good? If you nod, you can go home. Sheree's going like that. Were you a troublemaker? Okay. Okay. So anyway, one more sentence. I'm sorry. Deyang tambarangi ngokyal ki dushi. Ngokyal. The word ngokyal is extremely important. Okay? For those of you who want to learn Tibetan, ngokyal means the corresponding antidote or the corresponding problem. Okay, that's a tough idea that we have to study someday. Okay, but anyway, Tumba, the teacher, capital T, Lord Buddha, has overcome already. He has defeated his own four demons. Okay, what's he going to say next? Tell me and you can go home. He has overcome his own four demons. Yeah, but he's also working to help you overcome yours. Okay? Rangchaki dush shi nyurdu jomba gyurwe dundu samgu. When you picture the hand of the Buddha, when you see the bowl with three nectars in it, right? You should think they represent how the Buddha defeated his own four demons and how, due to his guidance, we will quickly defeat our own. He says quickly, which is nice. We will quickly defeat our own, okay? A lot of people present Buddhism as some way to cope with your problems or something like that. There's all these self-help books by Buddhist people. You know, if you're having trouble with, I don't know, self-esteem, then read this book and you'll feel better, you know. But the real goals of Buddhism are much higher. Death itself, right? The suffering of the entire planet. The goals of Buddhist practice are much higher than that, okay? And I think it's important to talk about it, you know. My job, if I'm teaching you this course, 10-year course, right? My job is to give you a viable means of stopping death itself. You say, I'm not trying to make you feel better about your problems or something like that, okay? Because death makes it all meaningless, right? You can teach someone how to get a family and have a house and be happy with their uncle, but if everyone's going to die, what's it matter? You see what I mean? In the end, we got to talk about the big problems, and then we solve the small ones, by the way, okay? So the path... When you picture your lama, picture someone who has defeated death, okay, and can help you defeat death. This is the reason to study these things, okay? All right? That has a long day. Okay. Ula, you ready? Sashi.
Kurgi Jukshi Medodam Rira Mishi Nende Gempadi Sangye Shintu Mite Uwagi Rokunanda Shinna Chupasho Idam Guru Radha Mandala Kandriya Dayami Dike Wokun Sanam Yeshe Sotsokshi Sanam Yeshe Mechume Namba Kuni Topasho
Okay, thanks. See you tomorrow.